just to remind ourselves where we are. Oh, by the way, isn't this a really exciting story? Yeah? Isn't this just an amazing story and that John includes in his gospel, in his good news? And let's remind ourselves that John is desperate for us to have what? To have life. Yeah? John is desperate for all those who hear the message of Jesus to know that that is Jesus who brings life. And in particular, he is keen for us to know that life comes through believing. Yes? Life comes through believing. He says that in chapter 20, 31, as he sort of sums up the purpose of his book, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that by believing you may have life in his name. So it's interesting here that John includes this particular story at the end of this section, this block of evidence. And this is the last sermon in this first part, part one, of John's gospel. It's gone so quickly, hasn't it? I feel like we've kind of flown through John. It's been great, really, just to be in John. But this is the last one in the block of evidence that John puts in. It's the last sermon we'll have on John until after the summer. But of all the sermons, all the stories, miracles that Jesus could have picked, he picks this one to help us and reinforce the importance of believing. This whole story, this whole miracle is about believing. Yeah? The man believes Jesus can do miracles. The man believes Jesus' word. The man believes in Jesus when the miracle is done. It's all about believing. John wants to get into our minds, there is no life, there's no salvation unless you believe. And he gives us a kind of insight in the journey that we may have already been on ourselves or may be going on ourselves in that journey of believing. That not all believing will lead to life. But that believing starts somewhere. And I think this is going to be really helpful for us in a number of different ways. One, there's a personal way where this might help us as we reflect on this idea of believing. Like, what sort of belief do I have? And even if you know Jesus, what sort of belief do you function at? Okay? What level of belief do you function at? Okay? And we'll see that he tells us to have life, we need to believe in three things. Okay? But there's a progressiveness to it. And so the first two are partial, and the final one brings it all together. So that's one thing. But also, as we love and care for other people who we want to come to faith, what are some of the ways in which faith starts and then grows and grows? It's going to help us as we think about how can we be involved in people's lives and bring them to faith. It's going to help us as we kind of analyze and reflect where other people are in their journey towards Christ. Because of course we want people to come to believe in Jesus, but sometimes there's a little bit of belief that comes first, and then there's a little bit of belief that comes next, and so forth. And so I'm not telling you that this is progressive, as in it always happens like this. It's 1, 2, 3. But I'm just trying to show you that there are often partial steps of faith that lead to a saving faith that brings life to people. And it seems to me that John particularly puts it in here because of the people that he's speaking to. And he particularly wants the audience that he's originally writing to understand this idea of salvation that comes through belief, not through the law. Yeah? Just follow me in your Bibles just to see Jesus say a couple of John record Jesus saying a couple of things about belief. So verse 48, it says, Jesus says to the people, unless you see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Verse 50, he says again, John says, the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. And then it reappears again, verse 53, and he believed and his whole household. So here, again, he's reinforcing belief, belief, belief. But the people that he was writing to, even though they had the scriptures, believed that it was really, or that it was the law that saved them, not believing in God. Okay? And they'd misunderstood the purpose of the law and the sacrificial systems. They were both the way that pointed to Jesus, that they needed something other, they needed a relationship with God. But also they were like ceremonies, they were rituals, they were kind of like almost means of experiencing God's grace. They weren't the thing that saved you, they were things that you experienced and lived out in a way so you could experience the grace of God as you believed in his name. What Old Testament, what's the number one thing that sums up the whole law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Yeah? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love for God, believing and loving in a person. But they'd taken it and broken it down into a number of series of pragmatic laws to follow to show that you loved God. And they got it the wrong way around. You follow God because you love him. You don't follow him so that you can love him. Does that make sense? One's flowing out of the other. You know, I'm not going to do... I could be a very diligent husband and do lots of things for Joe, but without love, and they wouldn't really be loving her, would they? Even though they might look like love. Yeah? But because I love her, out of the overflow of the love, I do things that might show that I love her. And that's really significant. John is saying, no, you've got to start with the first things first. Faith is the means by which we receive life. Yeah? They come from believing. We could swap that name for loving, because you don't really believe somebody you don't really love. And in fact, with Jesus, the mark of believing is that you love because of what he's asking and what he's done and what he's saying to us. So John is writing into this context so that they might know. And so their belief, if you want to put it this way, was based on works. Our belief is based on grace. Yeah? John says this right at the beginning of his chapter 1. He says, but all who received him, who believed in his name, he came the right to become the children of God. We must receive and believe. Believing is receiving. Yeah? We must come to believe in the name of Jesus. He says it again, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish. But what is the nature of belief? I'm trying to be short because there's exciting stuff in the text, but I need to set it up. What's the nature of Christian belief? Well, Hebrews, if you want to look at it, Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us the nature of belief as it describes faith. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things seen. So our faith involves a couple of things. First, a couple of things. One thing that we don't have, yeah? Things that we hope for. And something that we can't see. Those things that are unseen. Okay? And yet, the Christian faith is something that's described as an assurance and a conviction. Yeah? So there's a solid foundation to our faith. This is different than the world's faith or belief. There may be things that you see in the world that you just can't trust. Yeah? If you have a fear of flying, yeah, you can see the airplane, but you still don't trust it, yeah? You don't get on it. But the Christian faith is utterly different. There are things we don't have and are not yet seen, and yet because of a sure foundation, our conviction is absolutely solid, yeah? And so this is where John is leading us to. He's saying, look, there's a faith in the one that we do not see, yeah, that provides a absolute solid foundation for our believing so that we have an absolute certain conviction that he is who he says he is. None of us So when he's saying come to believe in him, he's talking about an absolute solid foundation, conviction that Jesus is who he says he is. That's what he wants to draw us to. That's the sort of saving faith. No, it doesn't mean you don't have questions. It doesn't mean there aren't things on the periphery that you don't fully understand. Of course, there's loads of stuff in the Bible that we will come to know and some things that we may never know. So we're not talking about every I dotted in terms of understanding everything about God. But what we are doing, we are understanding who he is, his simple message of salvation that leads us to faith in him. But it seemed, as John is writing, the people he's spoken to are in deep unbelief, the sort of unbelief that leads to further deep unbelief. And this is why he says to them that the only way that they are going to come to believe is if he does miracles. Yeah, because it's a weird thing to say, isn't it, in this passage? You know, why? You know, you won't come to know me unless I do miracles. Why was that? Why? Because the solid foundation of their faith, which was the Old Testament, they'd misunderstood. Now he's saying, I've got to do something extra for you now. The thing that I gave you, God's work throughout time and history that pointed you to salvation coming through me, through a person, you've reinterpreted and said salvation is going to come through the law, through our own works and through our own efforts. Now I've got to do miracles to attest that I am the one through which salvation comes. That's what he's saying when he says, you'll only believe if I do miracles. Why? Because their hearts have become hardened. And the more darkness they stayed in, the harder their hearts have become. And so Jesus is saying, I need to do miracles to attest to who I am. Why don't we read this passage together? And I'm just going to pull out three, hopefully exciting things that we learn from this passage. But let's read this together. So it says this. So he, that's Jesus, came to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come to Judah, to Galilee, he came to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, Sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, Go, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. And he asked them the hour that he had begun to get better. And they said to him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, which is 1 o'clock, the fever left him. The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, Your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he came from Judah to Galilee. So, I want to say three things. Life comes to all who believe, three things. First, those who believe in his works, number one. Those who believe in his words, and those who believe in his person. And there's a progressiveness to this. Let's just take the first one. Those who believe in his works. He said he came to him in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And the official comes to him. Now this official is a guy who is the official of the king. King Herod Antipas. So, and this king is just like a vassal king for Rome. He's not really have any authority. He's only really doing their job for them. And he's hated by the Jews, yeah? Because they see him as just like a mockery king, a puppet king, yes? And this man's an evil man. So this man works for the evil man that everybody hates, okay? In Capernaum of Galilee. And yet, when his son is ill, he remembers Jesus. He remembers that Jesus is the one that he's heard is doing only things that God can do, yet he doesn't at this point believe that Jesus is God because he wants him to come and heal his son, yeah? Because he doesn't want him to die. Now, if he believed that he was God, he probably wouldn't have a problem believing that God would raise him from the dead, okay? But at this point, his faith is just on the miracles that Jesus was doing. And so in this sense, it's an incomplete faith. It's not a full faith, but Jesus takes that little faith, that sort of belief in something about him to be true, and he in his grace responds to it. So this man comes to him. He hasn't got fullness of faith. This man is not saying, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you came to save all mankind. He's just saying, my son is ill and I know you can help me. Oh, I know that only you can help me in this. He is going to die unless you help me. That's why he begs him, come Jesus, come down. And he's probably heard all the stories, all the miracles where Jesus has touched somebody. Yeah? When Jesus has been in proximity to people. But this miracle that John chooses to put in here is where Jesus is not even close to the person who gets healed. And in fact, to the crowd around, this could have been quite a bizarre encounter. Imagine everybody's around him. Jesus does miracle. The guy says, come and heal my son. Come and touch him. Come and lay hands on him. Come and pray for him. I know that you can do this. And Jesus says, go. Your son lives. Now, to the crowd around, they're probably just thinking, not very spectacular. They didn't even see, I don't know whether the word spread later on or they never knew the outcome of it. But yet, Jesus didn't need to be in proximity to heal this boy. He just spoke. This man is coming to Jesus with a partial faith. You're a miracle worker, Jesus. You do miracles. I need a miracle. Please respond to me. Do you know what? It's okay to first come to him this way. Some of us here need a miracle in our lives. Yeah? Some of us are praying for something to change that seems beyond our ability. And maybe those of you who desire that don't know him to be Jesus yet, to be the Savior yet. Maybe you've got people in your life who are like this. They are needing God to be at work in their lives and they're just crying out, help me. God responds to those people. God, and we should pray for God to respond in this way in people's lives. It isn't that if God works, they are saved. Because many people were saved, yeah? Many people were healed. And at the end of Jesus' 3 years of ministry, only 120 people are in the upper room. That's not many, considering the number of people that he went around and healed. He probably healed more. Well, he definitely healed more than 120 people. But yet God does respond to people's need, and he does respond to their partial faith that he can help. It's amazing how many folks who don't believe in God cry out to God in their time of need, yeah? Why? Because they know they need help outside of themselves. It's not the end goal, but it's a starting place. But let me transition it into us here now. What are the works of Jesus that attest to who he is? Because this is what this was doing. The man came to, this was a starting point, but he came to believe that Jesus was who he was saying. This was the first building block. This was the first thing that showed that only really God could be doing these miracles. So there was a foundation of miracles that helped people to come to believe. That's what he says. You won't believe unless I do these miracles. So he's saying to this man and to the crowd around him, you won't believe unless I do something to prove. What is the evidence now that is this first partial step of faith in people's lives? And I think there could be quite a lot of things that we could say here. But I just for us as a church, I suppose I just want to talk about, I suppose, his work and our work. Sorry, I haven't moved this on at all. Oop, come back. And I think, for me, the modern day equivalent, because we don't really have loads of miracles taking place in this way, do we? in our culture, mainly because I believe that even if they did happen, people wouldn't come to believe. Some in more animistic cultures, you see this sort of thing taking place, where there are many more miracles where people come to believe. You see this taking place in people who are from a Muslim background who come to faith. They often experience an encounter with Jesus, and something miraculous takes place that leads them to faith. But because we're such a cynical culture, I'm not even sure that miracles would make much of a difference. But I do think the work of the people of God are the first step of attesting that Jesus is true. There's something about being around the people of God and the way in which they're living, and the way in which they're sacrificing, the way in which they're loving, both in the big things, in like the organized programs that they do, or projects that they do, and also in just everyday life. We can be that the sort of miracle that Jesus is doing as that first foundation of faith. So people might say, I don't understand it, but something is ringing true about these people. There's something about the way in which they're living. Now, maybe they might experience that through coming through to a kids club, or maybe going to a food bank or a CAP club or whatever the ministry might be. Fantastic. We need those things, the sort of mercy ministries that show Jesus cares. Not just Jesus cares, but his people care. Because you're the means by which they'll see this taking place. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. But also in the incidental, your hospitality, your generosity, your love, your kindness to one another and to other people around. This is the miracle that God has done amongst us. We would not have done that unless he had done something in us. So I just want to encourage us in two ways. One is, let us not be ashamed of doing big things for Jesus that talk about how great he is. Let us not be ashamed of doing small things for Jesus. The listening to somebody and hearing that they have a need and answering it when nobody knows. The time that you give to meet with somebody and to spend some time with somebody listening to what's going on in their lives. God will take our works, like he's using his works here, because it's his work through us, that, if you know what I mean. So it's his work, our works, if you know what I mean. And this will become the platform for which people have a partial faith, as in like they believe there's something true, but they don't really know what it is. And God calls us to this, his people to this. He's changed us for a purpose. He hasn't changed us so we can come here and listen to a sermon on Sunday. Nice as it is to be amongst one another, he saved us for acts of service, small and great, that just display his power. This man believed in the power of God. A changed life that seeks to love somebody else is a powerful thing. Your life is powerful in the lives of other people. So be encouraged. Do not grow weary of doing good. Don't grow weary of meeting together and being the body and showing what Jesus is like. Don't grow weary of the burden that you might be carrying, or the position that you have in leading other people in this church and in your workplace that Christ has given you to do. Don't grow weary of it. Why? Because it's coming together to provide a platform for faith that saves. But this was only partial faith. It's not the end. If we stop there as a church or as a people and we're content to run a program, pity us, woe to us. Because if Jesus just said, oh, well done for believing that I can do miracles. I do, yeah, fantastic, yeah. You've seen loads of them. Why do you want me to do a miracle for your son? Unless you believe in who I am, totally, right now, this second, I'm not doing that miracle for you. I've already done enough. The man would never come to know faith. No, we've got to keep on keeping on in the good works that God has called us to do, because the first foundation is people coming to believe in his works through us. Second is his words. Verse 49, the official said to him, "Sir, come down before my son dies." And Jesus said, "Go, your son lives." And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. Okay? So he believed the works. Jesus does miracles. He's a miracle worker. He's got the power of God. Now he believes in his word, that when he speaks, that Jesus is true. There's something about what he says that is true. Now, I don't know what it would have been like, because that is not what you would have wanted to hear, would you? I would have, like, physically wanted Jesus with me. Please come with me, Jesus. I just feel better if you walked with me. Yeah? But Jesus, I don't know why. Clearly because he didn't need to go and didn't want to go, in the sense of traveling that, you know, 20 miles downhill, 20 miles uphill to get there. I mean, the man went a long way, didn't he? 20 miles. Just on the off chance to get to Jesus. But Jesus doesn't reply in the way in which the man probably, well, he desperately wants him to go with him, to be with him. But no, he sends him back and he says, but something about the way in which Jesus said it meant the man moved from just believing his works, but to believe in his word. This man has said something and I believe it to be true. And he left. Now, if you didn't believe it, you wouldn't be going, would you? You'd be grabbing, you'd be pulling, you'd be begging, you'd be, you know, you'd be stalking Jesus nonstop. I'm telling you, if there was something wrong with Ezra and I didn't think I was getting what I needed, I would be keep on going until I got what I needed. Do you know what I'm saying? I ain't giving up. This man's not going to give up, is he? So clearly leaving wasn't giving up, it was believing. He believed in his words. Jesus has a message to speak. He doesn't have work, just works to be done, but he has a message to speak. He has a clarity, and the words that God, Jesus speaks through the word brings clarity and understanding to the works. Yeah? If we just had the works of Jesus, oh, here's things that Jesus did, and we had nothing of what he said, we wouldn't know why he was doing it. But the man believed in the word that he spoke. I am going to heal your son. He now lives. It's done. The man believed in his word. We've got to take people to the truth. What Jesus says. We can't leave Jesus up here as just a miracle worker in people's lives. You know, a slot machine to put your money into when things aren't going well. Pull the lever, let's see what we get. Do we get the three cherries or not? You know? No. Jesus' words bring life, that you might believe in him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The man came to believe that Jesus was the truth. We need to lead people to see that Jesus is the truth. He's not just a miracle worker. He's the truth. There's no other way by which anybody can be saved apart from in the name of Jesus, that Jesus is true. And so, for us, in our own flourishing of our faith, that means us being in the word. But again, as we think about, sorry, let me continue that thought. For us, that means that we need to be in the word, but also that word is continuing to bring us life. It's not just a one-off thing. I believe in Jesus, I believe in his word, and I go off now by works. No, we must continue to believe in his word, that's what brings life to us. But then as we think about those people that we love right now who we know don't know Jesus, at some point, for them to ever know and believe in Jesus, they're going to need to know what he says about the world, about life, about the condition of the human heart, about the need for salvation. And there is no other way. You know, this is why we run things like Christianity Explored, or why we've done training in the past just to be able to share the gospel with somebody, because it is the word that saves, as in like the truth of who Jesus is, that needs to be there. But interestingly, works and word are still incomplete. Because later on we hear that it says, when he got back, the man believed. That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? The man believed. Well, what was the difference between believing in works and word, and this new belief? Well, we're going to see he believed in Jesus. Works and words are to point you to the person of Jesus. Love the Lord your God. Don't know about the word your God. Just don't know that he's powerful. Don't just experience the word of God, God himself. Don't just know about him. Know him. Love him. There are many people who we know about God. Or they think they know things about God. They know many things about God. Not everyone knows him. Sometimes we could be easily led to think just knowing him, knowing about him, is the same as knowing him. It isn't. But those two things are crucial in coming to love him. Does that make sense? To believing that who he is who he is. That his works and his words prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And doesn't John say this? In terms of what he wants people to believe, he says, so that you may come to believe that Jesus, what? Is the Messiah, is the Christ. Not just that you might come to know Jesus, but you might know who he is, and that by believing that you may have life in his name. As we're walking along people, get alongside people, and we're pointing them to Christ, we want their affections to be stirred for him, not just to be stuck at knowing about him. It's a supernatural thing. It's the thing that we've talked about already. It's about being born again, yeah? So the works and the word lead us to have a solid foundation, an assurity, a conviction that who he is, and that leads us to faith in him, a belief in him that happens through being born again. So that's why it's important for us to be in the Word. That's why it's important for us to take people to the Word. That's why there's importance of apologetics in the marketplace. These things are important for us. But nobody will come to know Jesus unless they know him. And the final one, which I've already spoken about, alluded to, is that life comes to all who believe in his name, in his person. This is saving faith. It truly is an emphatic statement when he says he himself believed. We are not let into the process by which this faith came. I don't want to embarrass John, actually, but I'm going to use an example if you don't mind. I remember we were studying Christianity Explored together, and we'd spend a lot of time together, and then we were studying through Christianity Explored, and just this one time, I can't remember which one we're on, to be honest, but just felt the Lord say, today's the day. Today's the day when John's going to get saved. So we watched the video, and we started chatting. I said, John, what do you think about Jesus? He just said, I just believe. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I didn't believe, now I believe. Yeah? It's like, well, what's the kind of progression? It's like, I didn't believe, and now I believe. Sometimes we're not let in to our own understanding of our own hearts, how we didn't believe, and then we believe, how we were blind, and now we see. We're not let into this man's example here, are we? We just know that when he came back and he saw his son well, it moved from believing in Jesus' works. He's a miracle worker. He's powerful. Yeah? He's doing the works that only God can do, to believing that his word was, that what he spoke was true, to I believe, is a different belief. His eyes are now open and he can see that Jesus is the Messiah. John puts it in here very emphatically, so that we can see that there's a progression. He has now believed and is saved and rescued. And he adds, and his household, which is interesting. It's almost like he adds that to show that this is not just him, but something completely new has taken place, because it's him and all his household. There's a supernatural work that we don't understand that leads from works and word into believing in his name, which is saving faith, that we can't make happen, okay, but we can be part of pointing people to those first two things, yeah? We've got to trust that God works through his people and he works through his word to draw people to a place where they didn't see and then they see. There's a hard thing there for us as well, in that the reality is sometimes we accept that people, even we take them, we do the works and we take them to the word, they do not believe. It's a painful place to be when we love people and they don't believe. And nothing we can do can make them believe. It's a work of God. Not born of human will, but born by the will of God. So, let me encourage us. Let's be about his works. Yeah? Let's give people a chance to see that Jesus is someone completely different than what they think about. That his kingdom is great and it's good. Let us live in such a way that they taste the fruit of being part of the kingdom even though they are not part of it. Through our generosity, through our kindness, through our living, through our going into the marketplace and by living in a certain way or running a business in a certain way or you know, just the whole way in which we live our lives, and through mercy ministries, through caring for refugees, for caring for those who are human trafficked, through those who need jobs. Like, there's so many things that we can do. Let's just be about his work. Let's be about his business. But let's recognize that's not what will bring people to faith. It may be a step of faith for them to believe. But let's be about his word as well. Let's believe in the power. Maybe some of us are stuck at works. We've got friends right now which we've lived alongside, we've cared, and we've had little conversations, and we're scared to take them to the word because we think it may put them off. Let me tell you, unless you take them, they will not be saved. They are not just going to work it out on their own. They need to see what Jesus says. He has a message to say that needs to be believed. And then let us entrust all this work to God. That is his work, that he is the one who rescues, he is the one who saves. Let us be motivated by God's great love for us that might lead us to love others so that they might become to believe in his name and that they may too have life. Isn't that what we want? We want people to have life. We want people to know Jesus. He brings life. He is the life. There is no life that is not in him. He's the creator and author and the sustainer of all life. He brings a new spiritual life that is in him. We only have life if we're in him. It's the life that we, it's his life that we receive. So let me just pray for us and then we'll just finish by reminding ourselves of what he has done. Father, thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Thank you that maybe this is a little bit of our story. This is what you have done for us. You led us to believe in something that you had done, to believe in who you are and what you said, and then it led us to a spiritual new birth in Christ. We praise you and give you glory, but we long for others to know it too. This is the business that you're about. This is what you do, and you love to do it. Thank you that you accept our simple faith and lead us on to saving faith. Yeah, use us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.